Okay, we're going to turn to Joshua chapter 14, and we'll read from the 6th verse of this chapter, reading down to the end of it tonight. Joshua 14 and verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Amen. We'll finish there at the end of that chapter, and we trust the Lord will bless his word to our hearts. You'll notice the language of verse 12, where Caleb comes and says, Now therefore give me this mountain. He's a man with a desire for a blessing. Now therefore, give me this mountain. It's that little text of scripture I want to think upon for a little time before we come to our season of prayer tonight. Well, with our Bibles open before us there, let's just unite our hearts together again in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for thy presence with us here already. Lord, we thank thee for the reading of thy word. And Lord, now I pray that thou wilt write these things upon our hearts. That Lord, thou wilt encourage us as we come to pray. We thank thee for the exhortations to pray. We thank thee for the examples we have in regard to prayer. Lord, now encourage us and help us to come before thee with boldness and with confidence, we pray. Put thy word into my mouth and bless us, Lord, tonight. Help us as we consider these verses and make it a blessing unto our hearts. We pray in our Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. There were three men, at least three men, who made a very dramatic impression, a very dramatic impact on the nation of Israel as they journeyed through the wilderness towards the land of Canaan. One was Moses. That man chosen by God to lead his people out of the trouble and the tyranny of Egypt. Moses was a man of faith, a man of God, a man of prayer. You have a very interesting reference to Moses in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, where it speaks of him as one who choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Just think about that. There's Moses, and he knows something of Christ. And he values Christ above everything else in the world. He is God's man, in God's time, for God's work. And he makes a dramatic impression, dramatic impact upon the nation of Israel. The second man who makes a dramatic impact on Israel during those years was Joshua. And without getting into all the details of his life or the history of his life, Joshua stands out as a godly servant, a faithful spy, a courageous soldier and a worthy successor to Moses. I think one of the highlights of the record concerning Joshua was the fact that not only was he able to command the nation, but he had tremendous influence in his family and was able to say on their behalf, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So you have Moses, you have his successor Joshua. The third man that makes a dramatic impact on Israel was this man, Caleb. Caleb first appears as one of the 12 spies sent out by Moses to search the land. And he was the only one in agreement with Joshua that the nation should go up at once and possess the land for themselves. You're familiar with the story in Numbers chapter 14. The men come back. They have evidence of the fruit of the land. They come back and they testify. It's a good land. It flows with milk and honey. And then 10 of them said, "But there are nations there, there are cities there, they're walled up to heaven, and we cannot take the city. They are as giants in our sight, and we are as grasshoppers in their sight." And Joshua and Caleb have to intervene. And it's obvious from Caleb's intervention that he has a heart for the furtherance of God, for the furtherance of God's work. But the other spies had given their report, a report that was discouraging, a report that said the campaign was impossible. It was going to lead to failure. It could never be accomplished. And as a result of that report, people started to talk of appointing another captain and returning back to Egypt. Then Joshua and Caleb step forward. They rend their clothes and they begin to address the nation in these words: "The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us. A land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not." Now it's obvious from those words of Caleb, given the circumstances of that message, it's obvious from those words, here's a man who wants to go on. He has a burden to make progress. He wanted the nation of Israel at that time not to set up camp where they were, certainly not to go back to Egypt under another captain. Rather, he wanted that nation to enter in and enjoy their possessions and enjoy the blessing of God. Now, that was not a cold, empty kind of desire by this man. He's not simply paying lip service to going in and taking the land. Caleb is a man with another spirit. He's a man who followed the Lord fully. He's unmovable, unshakable in his desire for progress. And that characteristic appears again in Joshua 14. Look there at verse 6. "The children of Israel, the children of Judah, came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb was there, and he says to Joshua, 'Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea.'" And he begins to rehearse some of the details. And then in verse 11, he says, "As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain." Give me this mountain. As I thought of that, my mind turned to the words of the Scottish reformer John Knox. One time, Knox was so burdened for Scotland that he retired to a place for secret prayer. And as he had gone to that place for secret prayer, some of his friends discovered where he was. And as they listened to him pray, they heard him groan, "Give me Scotland or I die." He was a man with a burden. And Caleb is exactly the same. And of course, the Church of Christ needs that kind of burden tonight. We as God's people need that kind of burden in these days. We must never lose the burden for souls. We must never lose the burden for the city where God has placed us. We must never lose the burden for the furtherance of God's work and for the extension of God's kingdom. We need to cry out, as Caleb cried, "Give me this mountain, give me this city, give me this area, give me this place." He's a man with a burden, a desire for the blessing of God. And as we get to prayer tonight, I want to draw your mind to just a number of very simple thoughts that that sit on the surface of this passage that I trust will encourage us as we get to prayer this evening. Notice first of all that Caleb's desire for God's blessing rested on a word of promise. Caleb's specific interest in the land of Canaan and his personal possession of part of that land for himself stretched back to one of the most solemn messages from God that Moses ever had to make to the nation. When they refused to go up and possess the land back there in Numbers 14, when they questioned God's plan and God's purpose for them, when they began to query what Moses was doing, what God was doing also, and they displayed their rebellious hearts, God commanded Moses to declare to the nation that those involved in that sin would not enter the land at all. They would not see the land of promise. And the Numbers 14, verse 23, you read these words, "Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it, but my servant Caleb." Think of that very carefully. "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it." God was promising Caleb two things. One, he would enter the land, and two, he would inherit the land. It was a word of promise. And that promise, or that word, formed the basis of his desire now in Joshua chapter 14. Twice he makes reference to the word of God. Look at verse 10 in the chapter. In fact, he makes reference in verse 6 also, "Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea." So you have reference to God's word in verse 6. You have reference to God's word in verse 10. "And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses." And then again in verse 12. "Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day." So three times in this conversation that Caleb has with Joshua regarding the mountain, regarding Hebron, three times in this conversation he refers to the promise of God. Now there's something very obvious there. Caleb had not forgotten the word of God. That word had been lodged in his mind and his heart. He counted it a very precious promise, something that he could hold on to. He believed it was a word, not just for the nation at large, though that was true, but a word for him personally. He does not doubt the word. He does not question the word. There's no sense of him questioning its reality or its personal application. God had spoken to him. And he claims that promise. And he expresses his desire for blessing on the basis of the spoken word. You find something similar in the life of Elijah. 1 Kings 18 verse 1. God tells him there will be rain after 3.5 years without rain. The Lord tells his servant there will be rain. And we know at the end of that chapter that Elijah goes to the top of Carmel, having had the great contest with the prophets of Baal. He then goes and he begins to pray for that rain. And his desire for rain, his desire for that blessing, is based upon the word that he received from God. That's why he goes there. He goes to wait upon God because God had promised to send the rain. He believed the promise. Let me ask this question. Do the promises of God not have the same impact on us? We read God's promise regarding blessing. Do we take that promise and transform it into a prayer, into a desire for blessing? Or is it not true that sometimes we read a promise, we read something in God's word or something that's brought to our attention from God's word, and we begin to argue ourselves out of that promise? We argue against its application. We think it doesn't mean what it says. We think it doesn't mean that it's for us. And we begin to argue around and argue away the promises of God. Caleb is not a man like that. He has stronger faith. He staggers not at the promise of God. So, believer, when we come to pray tonight, let's remember that we have a God in heaven who keeps promise. We have a God in heaven who gives us a promise of his blessing, and he will keep that promise. So let us claim it. You notice too in this chapter that his desire for blessing did not diminish or abate over time. There are reference here to years and to age. Verse 7, for example, he says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Verse 10, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Caleb had received this promise when he was 40 years old. And of course, there were the 40 years of wandering. And now he has reached 85. And he's still burdened for that place. He still has that desire to possess the possessions that God promised to him. The passing of time did nothing to diminish or change the longing in his heart to possess what God had promised to him. Makes me think that he had not grown weary. Yes, years had passed, 45 years had passed. But he had not given up hope. He had not relaxed his desire. He was just as interested in knowing God's blessing as an 85-year-old man as he was when he was a 40-year-old man. Nothing had changed. I wonder, did he ever feel it will never happen? I wonder, did he ever think that this promise will never be fulfilled? Did he ever think to himself as they wandered about the wilderness, I'll never have that land. I'll never enter that land. I'll never enjoy that land. I don't know. But I know when he's 85 years old, he's still as burdened for God's blessing as he was 45 years earlier. You know, sometimes as time passes and the blessings we look for do not appear, we can do one of two things. We begin to think of ways in order to take things into our own hands. We look for blessing from God. We look for souls to be saved. We look for an increase in the church. We don't see it as quickly as we think we would like to see it. We don't see it to the same magnitude. And we begin to think that we've got to do something to bring the blessing quicker. And so we begin to bypass the order of God. We begin to bypass the way of God. And we try to do something ourselves to produce the blessing by our own strength. I think that's what Abraham did when instead of waiting upon the fulfillment of God's promise with Sarah, he goes in on to Hagar and has a child by her. We can either do that or we simply grow weary. And we lose all sense of expectation. We lose heart and we give up. And that perhaps is the great danger. The great danger of looking for a blessing, expecting a blessing. The great danger of having a promise from God and bringing that promise before God. And week after week passes, month after month passes, and the promise is not fulfilled, and we're on the verge of simply giving up. We lose all sense of importunity. And we think to ourselves, as it hasn't come, it's not going to come. Caleb doesn't think that way. Even though he's 85. And he makes reference to that in verse 10. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. I am still as strong. I think he's speaking physically there, but surely the thought is his desire was still as strong. I thought of Isaac today. If you turn over to Genesis 25. Genesis chapter 25. Isaac is 40 years old when he takes Rebekah to wife. And it speaks in verse 21 of that chapter, Genesis 25, verse 21. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Now you could read that and think very little of it. He's married at 40. He begins to pray for his wife. He entreats the Lord. He brings her barrenness before God in prayer, and God answers prayer, and she has children. You think, well, that's how it often happens. But look over to verse 26 of the same chapter. Speaking after the birth of Jacob and Esau, we read, "And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them." He begins to pray when he's 40. And she is 60 when she has the children. 20 years he prays for her. 20 years he entreats the Lord. 20 years he patiently brings this matter before God in prayer. And although the years have passed, he hasn't lost his desire. Is it not true that we have been praying for revival for many years? Year after year after year. Praying for an increase in the work year after year after year. Well, can we say tonight that as yet I am as strong this day as I was when I started to pray for it? Or is it the case, Christian, we've grown weary? Maybe tonight you've come to the prayer meeting and you've grown weary. You've prayed for things in your family, things in your home, and you've grown weary. And the devil comes with the thought very clearly, very loudly, just give up. Caleb did not give up. He had a heart and a desire for the blessing that did not diminish and did not abate, even though many years had passed. You'll notice here also that his desire for a blessing moved him to make an urgent request for it. He didn't remain silent when it came to the matter of obtaining his inheritance. He put a voice to it. He comes to Joshua in verse 6, and he said unto him, "Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea." Tells him the history of it. 40 years old when Moses, the servant of God, sent me out from Kadesh Barnea. And he begins to rehearse all that's taking place. And then he comes to verse 12. And he says, "Now therefore give me this mountain." This was not just a dream that Caleb had. Not just a thought in his mind. It was not just something he harbored in his heart. It was something that he vocalized. He turned the desire into a request. And he brought it before Joshua. And he says in verse 12, "Now therefore give me this mountain." It's essentially a prayer, a request. He's making a request to Joshua. There are some things about that I think are worthy to note. His request acknowledges the goodness and grace of God to him. He says in verse 10, "And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word." The Lord has kept me alive. Many others had fallen in death. Many others had perished in the wilderness, but the Lord had kept him alive. And here he is talking to Joshua, burdened for the blessing that he knows is there for him. And he acknowledges the goodness and the grace and the greatness of God to him. Let us do the same when we come to pray. Let us do the same when we come to pray. His request is urgent. Notice how he puts it in verse 12. "Now therefore give me this mountain." It's almost as if he's saying, "I've waited long enough. The time has come to claim what has been promised to me. Now, therefore, give me this mountain." His request was supported by solid arguments. He tells him, "Moses spoke to me about this. The Lord has been gracious to me. I have the promise from God because it is there, and I've wholly followed the Lord. Now give me the mountain." Now, therefore, in the light of all of this, give me this mountain. It's good for us when we pray to present our case before the Lord, to come with arguments, to come with arguments before God. His request is mindful of the promise of God. We've stressed that already. He comes and he speaks repeatedly of the word that God had spoken. And his request is very specific. His request is very direct. He knew what he was asking for, and he asked for it. Give me this mountain. I think had you talked with this man after he had spoken with Joshua and asked him, what have you just asked for? He would know. I've asked for the mountain. I've asked for my inheritance. He comes with this single purpose in his heart. This single desire in his soul. He comes with this single request. Give me this mountain. We come to pray tonight. Let's come with specific requests. That God would give us souls in Greenville. That God would bless the preaching of his word to the extension of his church and for the glory of his name. He takes this desire and he's moved to make an urgent request out of it. Now therefore give me this mountain. There's a fourth thing here. His desire for blessing involved a readiness to strive for it. Caleb realized that asking was not enough. He realized that asking was not enough. He says in verse 10, Now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Now, he requested that it be given to him. While at the same time, he recognizes he's going to have to fight for it. That's why he says in verse 11, so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. He acknowledges in verse 12 the struggle that's going to be, because the Anakims are there and their cities are great and fenced up. But he trusts the Lord. He trusts the Lord. And he knows that while he has just asked for this mountain to be given to him, there's a work for him to do. And he's ready to do it. Even though he's 85 years old. Believer, if we're going to know the blessing of God, there is a sense in which we have to work. I had prayed for 18 months before I ever went into Bible college that the Lord would show me his will. For 18 months there was no answer. No direction, no guidance. We had a week of meetings in our church in Londonderry. The Reverend Ivan Foster was the preacher. I think it was the Wednesday night. He preached on that text in Psalm 119. It is time for thee to work, for they have made void thy law. At the end of his message, I don't remember all that he said. And I don't remember how he put this exactly. But this was the drift of what he was saying. He made a comment just as he was about to close in prayer. If we want the Lord to work for us, we must be willing to work for the Lord. And that struck me. Within a few days, I felt God call me into the ministry. That sure is the thought here. Now, I'm a Calvinist. God saves. Salvation is of the Lord. But he is pleased through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God said to Paul as he considered Corinth, I have much people in this city. Well, Paul did not just turn away from that city and say, well, the Lord has much people there, there's no need for me to go. He went and he preached to them. He preached the unsearchable riches of Christ. He said, I desire to know nothing among you, save Christ and him crucified. The point is this, there was a work for Paul to do. There was a work for Caleb to do here in this chapter also. And believer, if we look for the Lord to bless us, we've got to be ready to say, Lord, what will you have me to do? That's why the outreach work that we've planned is so important. But it ought not just to be a couple of hours on a Saturday once in a while. It ought to be a regular thing week after week with every child of God being involved. Not necessarily involved together as we plan to be on Saturday, but just every person doing what they can for the furtherance of the cause of Jesus Christ. This man recognizes that I'm ready. Ready for war, to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this might. His desire for blessing was granted in God's time. Verse 13, Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. 45 years have passed. And now he receives the inheritance. He receives what he's been asking for. In God's time and for God's glory. Believer, surely we have this desire tonight. Now, therefore, give me this. May God burden our hearts. May he stir our souls afresh. That as this man, the other men there also, had a desire to enjoy what God had promised, that we might enjoy what God has promised too. May we be as strong tonight as we ever have been in our concern for souls. May we be as strong tonight in prayer as we ever have been, as we pray for the work of God. May we be as strong tonight in our burdens for the cause of Christ here as we ever have been, even though years have passed. May we come before God with this prayer. Now, therefore, give me this might. A man with a desire for the blessing of God. And may that be true of us tonight as we get to prayer. May the Lord bless his word to us. May he come, challenge us and lead us on as we seek him now in prayer for his own glory and for his own name's sake.